declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Yes. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. You are still here. You are still alive. Clap your hands like you shout unto God. With your hands lifted up all over, say, Heavenly Father, I come through the blood of redemption. Come through the blood of sanctification. Come through the blood of justification. The blood of redemption. To obtain new mercies. For new mercies I see every morning. Now, Father, let your word proceed in the name of Jesus with clarity to bring illumination, a sense of direction. In the name of Jesus, let restrictions be removed. Let embargoes, demonic sanctions be lifted up this house, your people, our finances. Let the sanctions placed on us by the enemy to limit, to hinder, to restrict, to frustrate us be lifted off in the name of Jesus. Let it break in the name of Jesus. And now, Father, cause us hearing. Give us a new sense of commitment, agency to God, to the work of God, to the work of the ministry, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I silence whisperings, silence any contrary voice in my mind, in my ears, in the realm of the spirit, in the atmosphere. Silence the voice of the whisperer and the accuser, the name of Jesus. Let there be a performance today of the word of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Help me to live the life required and expected of me by God, in Jesus' name. Take a minute, welcome somebody, love on somebody, go out of your way, greet somebody. Come on, go around. Shadabakutabahadas. Neta lukandi bakadusis. Nolamaki bili kaparahadias. Zedele Christo Bahar. Ubanga darianda gada. Sedegele brogodi gada grostese. Tanaka isokonele Christo bagadasas. Elengredo kopakisias. I said something on Wednesday, as I welcome you back on Sunday morning to church. I said that if you were told by a doctor, which do happen to so many people, except that for you and I, God has been merciful to us. But if the doctors told you, which has happened to so many people, do happen every now and then, that you have only a week or a month to live, and you die, and there's nothing that can be done to help you, which do happen unless heaven intervenes. We've had situations like that of certain people living here right now, and God intervened. But if God decides not to intervene, and you have to go, you have to die, and no amount of money and wealth, influence or connection, apart from God's intervention, can save the situation, and you are told that you have a month or a week to die, what will you do? What are the most important things that you will do? Your whole lifestyle will change. Your focus and your priorities will change. The way you see things will change. The way you live, your eating habits, your desires, your passion, your thought patterns, your attitude, relationships, everything will change. You will transform. You won't be like you used to be anymore. There will be a sudden change and turnaround in your life. You begin to live a different kind of life with such urgency, living the life you should have been living all along before you were told you have a week or a month to die. You'll be living the life you should have been living all along. And I think the deception of the enemy is to make us all believe that we have time. There is time. There is time. You have time to fool around. You have time to live anyhow. You have time to do what you please. You have time to do what you want. You have time to do as you will or as you wish. Then comes a time when you don't have time anymore, and then you are ready to go. Go where? You are ready to go. Where are you going? And are you ready to go? Are you ready? And are you prepared? And are you ready to face your God? And when you meet him, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account, which we never. Remember, the enemy have so succeeded to get us to believe that if you're a Christian, you can just live anyway, anyhow, just be a Christian, come to church Sunday morning and pay your tithe and give your offerings and you are good. It's not true. It's a deception of the devil. God requires of you more than that. And life is not just about marrying and having kids and paying their school fees and educating them and giving them an inheritance. And then you say, well, I've done well, educated all my kids, they are doing well, have an inheritance for them, when I leave they will be fine. Who told you that inheritance guarantees your children's future? It is Christ in them that is the hope of glory. It's the knowledge of God you succeed in planting and giving to them that guarantees their future, not the things you leave for them. When the war took place in Liberia, in Sierra Leone, and in Cote d'Ivoire, properties were destroyed everywhere. Children were scattered, displaced. Some came to Ghana, went to many parts of the world. The properties and everything left for them were all destroyed. And they were impoverished. Some of them were in this church. We have to find them places to live. People who were very wealthy in those days that I used to visit, La Côte d'Ivoire, were here. We have to find them places to live, vehicles to pick them to church and take them back, and it was difficult. Some of them even came to borrow some money from us, and they haven't paid us up to now. Guaranteed loan for some people, they haven't paid. So many situations. Time changes. The greatest gift you can give to your kids, apart from the houses we build for them, giving them an inheritance, is God, giving them the knowledge of God. Say the knowledge of God. But I think that the enemy have succeeded to desensitize you and I and to veil us, to just live like the unsaved, living like the unsaved, living without a sense of direction and clarity of who we are, why we are here, and where we're going. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that you are here for a reason. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are born and alive for such a time like this for a reason. And for all of us, we will give an account. We will give an account for what we did with the life and the time and the resources that was given unto us when and why we were alive. One day, turn to somebody and say, one day, you and I, tell them you and I will give an account to the master. Which means that God has an expectation of all of us. I am doing what I believe I'm called to do. I'm doing not the best I can. I strive every day to meet the mark. I strive every day to meet the target. I was just telling Bishop Buddha about something that I need to change quickly, because I was telling him, I said, no, I need to be ready at a particular day of the week before Saturday and Sunday. And I said, some things need to change. And I was talking to some of my guys at about 3 this morning and in the session that I can't accept certain invitation and I can't accept certain appointments anymore. I can't do it. I can't accept especially appointments of people who want to see me when they are down, but when they are up, they forget me. And when they are down, they have problems and they want to see the papa. I ain't nobody's papa when you are down. And I ain't no God. Go to the Lord. Don't come to me when you are down. And talking to somebody the other day, he had a situation and he said, only papa can intervene. And I said, no, I don't intervene for people when they are on their feet. They forget me, and when they are down, then they come to the papa. That is not my anointing. I don't want that kind of anointing. Me too, I want the anointing when people are on their feet, they remember me. Not the anointing when they are down, then they remember papa. Don't come to me. I will turn you down. I'm telling you. I'm just warning you. Tell somebody I'm warning you. I also need to be remembered, not when you are down. I want also to be remembered when you are blessed, not when you are in crisis and you are left with the crumbs. Then you come to me with the crumbs. I don't need crumbs. Hallelujah. But there's a reason why I'm saying all of this, because of where I'm going. I want to remind us because we live in perilous times. We live in dangerous times, and the enemy have succeeded by deception to veil us, to believe that everything is okay and that we are good and that we can live any way and any life we want to until when he's ready to die, we take stock. It's a deception. It's too dangerous to think you have time, and it is too dangerous not to take stock now, but to wait till you are old and gray-headed. Because you cannot guarantee that you'll be old and gray-headed. You can't guarantee that. Anytime, I don't like looking at CNN and at Al Jazeera anymore, because whenever I look at these networks, I get depressed. And the depression has to do with some of the things they're announcing. The disasters, the tsunamis, the sea breaking the rules and coming into town and wiping an entire city and community, burying them, killing and destroying everything, and then he goes back to order. Yet God commanded the sea that you won't cross this back. For whatever reason, the sea is entering town and killing and destroying human lives. And then after that, because God has commanded that you can't stay in town, he just go back to order. And I said, this is wrong. Look at the issue that took place in Sierra Leone, how people were asleep and they never woke up. Some flat, mad, crazy stuff just came to time, wiped an entire city over thousands and killed and destroyed. What is going on with our world today? What is happening? The flight that crashed, over 180-something people and kids all died. They can't explain what happened to the aircraft. took off in 13 minutes, went down. Folks, we live in dangerous times. And as never before, you and I that are believers must develop a strong faith in God and dependence on God and not on money and not on material things, not on earthly things. Our confidence must not be in money, in earthly goods, for a man's life does not consist by the abundance of things that he possesses. Our confidence and our faith in life must never depend on any relationship or who we know or connections or what we have achieved. It must not be dependent on achievement. It has to be dependent on our relationship with God and our knowledge of Him and of His Word. Because if it is about achievement and it's about wealth and material things, many will be disappointed. Somebody was talking to me the other day about the election of 2020 in Ghana. I said, Papa, what do you think? And I said, there will be many surprises. Now you write it down. You'll be shocked. Because some of you have put your confidence in a particular group of people. And some of you are investing money in different kinds of groups and parties. And you have all these expectations. There will be surprises. And all that will happen for men to know that there is only one. There is only one among all the kings of the earth that you can put your trust and your confidence in. That every other ground is sinking sand. And I don't know what it will take to wake Christians up. I don't know what it will take to wake us up. We are too materialism and driven. Putting our confidence in men, in political parties, than in the living God. We can even side with our party against God and against our own salvation. Because God is no more our source. When are we going to change? What is it going to take to wake us up? I want to talk to you. I want to revisit something that I've preached before. But I think it's very dangerous when we assume that because we've taught it before, people have gotten it. They never get it. They never do. Other than that, the Bible won't be on earth and there'll be no need of preachers anymore. We never get it. And that's why we have to keep saying it, echoing it, sound the alarm, blow the trumpet in Zion, say it over again and over again and again and again, because man never gets it. We never get it. We keep forgetting ourselves and where we've come from, and each man for himself living a life as if that is it. That is not it. You are not your own. You don't own your life. Your life is not yours. You are not here to do your own thing. You are not here by chance. You are on assignment. And I'm asking you today before heaven and earth, are you aware of your assignment? Number one. Number two, are you ready to face your master and to face your God and your King? And what kind of account will you give when I hear Christians say, well, I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready. Ready to go where? What is it that you have accomplished for the King, for the Master, to go live in his eternity? You're going to live in his eternity. And here on earth, you haven't accomplished anything for him. All your life, it was about you and your children, your immediate family. That was it. That was it. That was the life you led. And you are going to meet the Lord. You are not ready. You ain't ready. You were not saved to just be blessed. We were saved to save others. How many souls have we saved since you got born again? And from the beginning of this year to now, the 11th month, November, how many souls have you saved? How many people have you brought to the Lord? Where are your fruits? Why should God answer your prayer? Why should God protect you? God is a very wise businessman. Why should God protect you? Why should God protect your children? Why should God bless you? What is your value and your usefulness to the kingdom? When Tabitha died in the book of Acts, Dorcas, the leaders of the church refused to bury her, and they sent for Peter to come and pray to resurrect her. When Peter came, the Bible said there were many widows that surrounded her body with her works in their hands, showing Peter that she is the reason why they are holding all these beautiful garments, showing her works, her usefulness and value to the church. Compel leadership to call Peter to come and intervene in the situation. But the Bible said there were many widows. When their husbands or wife died, they didn't call for Peter to come and resurrect them. They were all Christians. Not better than Dorcas. But some of you may not agree, but the fact of the matter is that the fact that they didn't call Peter to come and pray for them, and they buried them. But when it came to Dorcas, they called for Peter. Has a reason that she was more useful. She made her services available to the brethren, to the church, that she was so valuable that the church said, no, we can't lose her. We need her. Are you useful to the house of God? Are you useful to the ministry? Are you living your life for the ministry? Are you working for God? Have you put your life on the altar of God and say, God, my life, my resources, my giftings, my skills, everything I have and I am and I will ever be, I lay it at the altar for your use. Or you are saving, hoarding, gathering, following after, pursuing the wind to get and get and get and get and get and take it where? You are not taking it to the grave. You are not taking anything to the grave. I'm telling you. A day will come and you will realize what I'm telling you, that you ain't taking nothing to the grave. And two, hear me. Whatever you accomplish here on earth, and you have to accomplish things. So don't misunderstand me that Papa doesn't want us to accomplish anything. No. That's not what I'm saying. And three, you must give an inheritance to your children. So don't think I'm against you giving your inheritance to children. Every one of us must do so. Every one of us must do so. It is critical that we do that. But going past that, in giving one or two houses to your kids, you must get to a point where you say, God, going forward, everything I am, I have, and I will ever be is for the ministry. I've educated my kids. I've given them an inheritance. Everything else is for the ministry, for eternal reward. Because a lot of you will be shocked. And I keep saying it, but the enemy has succeeded to lie to so many people that when I say it, the way you look at me, I just know that you don't believe me. But I have a moral and a spiritual responsibility to keep saying it and to keep reminding you, because a day will come when you stand before the King and the Master, and you will hear my voice in the courts of heaven, and you shall be reminded that I told you. That nothing we accomplish and do here on earth has eternal reward or mileage except what we do for the Lord and His house and the ministry. Those are the only thing that gives us eternal reward. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. So don't forget that. As you live your life, and as you follow the wind And as you make accomplishment, get the rewards. Remember, one day, you stand before the king. And the king will ask you questions. Did you use the favor I gave you for yourself? To make a name? To accomplish the things you did accomplish for self? Did you use my blessing? Did you use me? And the Lord will tell you, I feel exploited by you. Welcome. You are still my son and my daughter. Welcome to the kingdom. But you have no portion here. And you will see many living in mansions, and some who have cities. And certain individuals you have no respect and regard for when you were here on earth, who were cleaning the toilets in the church that we use. You see them with rewards. And you say, how come this one have this and this one have, and what happened? And the Lord will tell you that you did not live with eternity in mind. You live for yourself. You didn't live for me. Don't question anything. Be thankful that you are here. You didn't go to hell. I'm just reminding you. I want to talk to you for some few minutes on a subject I entitled Being Conscious or Be Conscious of the End Times. Tell somebody, be conscious, be conscious, be conscious, be conscious of the end time. Because the enemy have so deceived us. And if I don't caution you, there is a possibility that a lot of you will grow weary and panic and fear will grip your heart. Because every day we lie down and we wake up, there's so much going on and disasters on our media networks. Yesterday I said, I'm not watching news anymore because there's too much disasters. It looks like every week there is a hurricane hitting some place or the other. Destructions everywhere. And I'm saying to myself, we are living truly in the end times. These are dangerous times. And I want to caution every parent here. If you have educated your kids and you have given them an inheritance, will you please make a vow to God that for the rest of my life and my days, I will live for you, I will serve you, and everything I have, I will use it for the ministry. I will build churches. I will build churches. I will give to the work of the ministry. I will help the ministry to help the poor, to clothe the naked, to establish strong prison ministry. I was at one prison, spoke to thousands of prisoners. Two weeks ago, had over 1,000 inmates coming forward to receive Christ, fed them all, did things for them, and the needs and the demands is mind-blowing. And I have other prison in the country inviting me to come to them, and I promise I will come. And when I went, I did not preach. I gave them a testimony of my life and where I have come from to let them know that God can take a nothing and a nobody and make something and do something out of them. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. Verse 7.
For nation shall rise against nation, mm-hmm, and kingdom against kingdom.
The word kingdom against kingdom, I was researching it. It also stands for political party against political parties. Amazing. Political parties fighting themselves. Look at America. Look at the state of the American politics. Political parties fighting against political parties. Kingdom against kingdom. Look at the nations of Iran. Kingdoms. Saudi Arabia. Kingdoms. Look at the nation and the state of Israel and other nations, America and Iran. And look at nations in the Middle East, Africa. Destruction is everywhere. Nations will rise against nations. And whether you believe it or not, it's happening. But these are just the beginning of sorrows. It stands to reason that there will be more than this. Serious situations than this will occur. Are you hearing me, somebody? Don't wait till it's too late before you begin to serve God. I'm warning you. I've seen people on the bed of affliction. And it was on the bed of affliction. They started thinking the way they should have been thinking all along. That was when they started having time for God. But before then, they were busy. And the word they use, I'm busy. I'm very busy. God has been good to me. God has been good to me. I'm blessed. You are blessed. For what? You think God just goes around blessing people? No. He blesses people for a reason. I will bless you so you'll be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. How many people have you blessed? Ask yourself, especially those of the household of faith. Are you blessing those of the household of faith? Or you are blessing people for political reasons? Investing into people so that whenever they come into power, they will remember you, but some of them will disappoint you. And God will make sure that that gambling fails, because it's a gambling. He will make sure you lose that money. He will make sure they show you when they come into power where cayenne pepper lies, so that you will check your faith again. So keep on investing all over the place. 2020 is coming. People are going to be giving money to all kinds of parties because they want power. Somebody say, power! It has expiry date. Go ahead.
And there shall be famines.
Famines. And look at what is happening in Ethiopia. Yemen. Over 10 million. No food, no water, no medical aid. And when I watch it, I can't take it. That's why I'm stopped watching. I can't take it. My heart bleeds. You see kids. You see little kids like skeletons. No food, no water, no medical aid. And human beings are eating and drinking and sitting back and seeing kids dying. Look at Syria. And people have no compassion. No heart. Don't care anymore of other human lives. It's all about them and their immediate family. Let that happen to their children. You see the way they will respond and react. But because it's not their own kids and it's the kids of others, it doesn't matter. Anything can happen to other people's children, not theirs. Go ahead.
And pestilences.
Pestilences.
And earthquakes.
Earthquakes.
In diverse places.
In diverse places. It's happening. Look at verse 10.
And then shall many be offended.
Offended. People are offended in the church. People are offended. Even what I'm preaching can offend somebody. Why is he saying that? Is he saying? Yes, I'm saying what you are thinking. There are people who will even say, Papa is preaching me. As if you are in the Bible. Your date of birth is not in the Bible. And even if your name is in the Bible, I have the mandate to preach it anyway. People, he said, many, not few, many shall be offended. Go ahead.
And shall betray one another.
Do you know the level of betrayal in the church? The levels of betrayal in the church. The amount of people betrayed in this house. And do you know how many times I've been betrayed and I keep being betrayed? Bishop Obudu and Yakudem will tell you. See people sleeping in the church. Pick them up. Send them to Bible school, train them. Fly them outside the country. Today some of them are American citizens, Canadian citizens, European citizens. And I still have a Ghanaian passport. And I bought a ticket for them, flew them out. They become somebody. Not even a Christmas card on Christmas. Not even a word or a text on my birthday. They don't even remember from where they have come from, who helped them. And as you see the way they talk about me, like a trash. And yet without me, they won't even have an address. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another. The level of offense in the church and the level of betrayal is unbelievable. Go ahead.
And shall hate one another.
Hatred in the church. Hatred in the church. Speaking in tongues. Shandamite and Shidamite. And yet hating one another is part of the signs. Verse 13.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
This verse is the reason why I'm preaching this word today. Because you see, people think that because you are saved, that is it. You are lying. It's a joke. It's not true. If you don't endure to the end, offenses and things will happen that can cause you to backslide as a believer and live like an unbeliever and lose your salvation. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That means if you want to keep your salvation, you have to endure. It means you have to rise above all of these things. It means you have to have mastering. And it also means you have to have education and knowledge and understand that all these things will happen. That is part of the race. That it will happen. There's nothing you can do about it. But you need to know. You need to be in the know so you can be in the flow. You can't be ignorant about it. And if I don't remind you and assume that because I've preached some of these things before, you have it. It's a joke. It's a lie. We are in the last days. Please be conscious of it. And when people betray you, don't be shocked. When people offend you, don't be shocked. And whenever you get offended, remember that, hey, it's part of the signs of the end time. You talk about being offended. I have a cause to be offended every day, but I choose not to. I refuse to be offended. I just say to myself, no, I'm not going to be offended. And if I think I've offended you, I will apologize. Even if I'm right, I will apologize. Because I don't want you to lose your salvation. I want you to endure to the end. And I don't want to be the reason why you lost your salvation. So if I have to apologize, I will apologize. I will. When I live in America, one of my pastors I took from Cincinnati, brought him to Maryland. He was sleeping on a mattress. He and his family had nothing. Flew them in, put them in an apartment, furnished the place, gave them a car, put him in charge of the church, gave him a goal and a target. For 2 years, nothing happened. The church was getting bad and we're losing people and I had to fire him. And he came into the church when we had a meeting in the church building. And I said, I gave you this church 2 years and I told you what I expected. And nothing seems to be working and the church is dying. I have to remove you. And he started trying to challenge me. And I said, don't cross that line. Don't go there with me, Mr. Teacher, please. As we were talking, suddenly his right leg began to swell. And he had something called, there's a name for it, elephant something. Yeah. And his heart and his blood pressure went high. He walked in fine. We have to carry him to Obu into the car. Send him to the hospital. And the doctor said it was very good you were brought here. You wouldn't have made it by tomorrow morning. And he told people I tried to kill him. And I said, ask him, did I use a knife or a pistol? What did I use to kill him? And I said, next time, teach. Did something wrong, instead of you to accept responsibility and say, you know, Papa, I'm sorry. Can we work it out? You are trying to misbehave. The level of arrogance today in the church. No respect and honor for order anymore. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. If you don't endure to the end, folks, there is a possibility you might lose your salvation. And that is why I'm teaching this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 2.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith.
Some that can endure, don't endure, will depart from the faith. So much will happen if you are not careful. I'm telling you, you backslide. Because I've seen people in the faith that have come to a point in their walk with God and they are beginning to backslide. Yeah. And they don't even know they are backsliding. All the things that are required of a believer, they are falling short of it. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We don't anymore. We have no fellowship with one another. We don't fellowship again. So many are not part of the cells because we are too important to be part of the cell. How do I leave my beautiful house with marbles and granites? If you have a marble and granite, I'm not talking to you because some of you haven't even been to your house. It's just an expression, so please don't take it personal. It's part of the things that can offend people. Amen. And I don't want you to be offended, so I'm saving you from yourself. Why do I go to somebody's corridor and garage to do sales, to fellowship with others? Meanwhile, too, you won't give us your granite and your marble house to use it for fellowship, because some people can't come to your granite house and marble house. Meanwhile, you are not taking it with you. You won't take it anywhere. You're going to leave it. You know, I was in a house the other day, and when I was a kid, I grew up in that area. And every one of us, that particular house belonged to an old money man in this country, friend of my dad. They were all in the lodge. And we all went to play in that house. And you don't go to that house unless your father is connected to that old man. And at a point, when we were fooling with girls in the area, that was the place we used to take them to. There was a whole huge house and then a guest house. And I went there and I walked to the bedroom and stood at the corridor and looked at the whole area. And I shook my head. And I said, if anyone had ever told that guy that this house will become the property of the one that owns it now, he won't believe it. But time changes. Church, time changes on a ministry, sir. Don't be too confident, please. Hear me. Listen, I don't know how much you have. I'll tell you something, eh? I have few billionaire friends of mine. They come to visit me here. It's just that they don't give me some of their money. You know? Because a lot of the billionaires, they think me too. I'm a billionaire, even though I don't know why they think that way. Anyway. But the fact is, I don't beg them. I don't ask them for money. So that is one principle. And if you want to work with people who have money, learn not to ask them money. As soon as you start asking them for money, they don't want your company. Anyway, they come to visit. They come here with their private jets and things. Go to dinners, hang around me and all that. And some of them are not born again. I was talking to a gentleman recently who has built over 60 churches in Ghana here for his church. And he told me how he struggled to build. And he said, Papa, after I built those churches, 60 churches, he built it by his hand, one man. He said, after that, God has blessed and prospered him. He can't believe it. And some of these, my friends who are billionaires, they haven't built even one temple, not one building for God. And somebody who is not even a millionaire has built church buildings. And I looked at it and I said, you know something? When the master comes, there will be surprises. There will be such surprises that will blow people's mind. Because there are people who have come into wealth and they are literally hoarding it. doing nothing for eternity, doing nothing for the house of God. And there are people who have nothing, and even with their nothing, they are doing something with it for God and for humanity. When the master comes, there'll be surprises. So that'd have been a good place to clap.
Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits.
Seducing spirits. Lying devils. Right.
And doctrines of devils.
Doctrines of devils.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy.
Yes, sir.
And having their conscience seared with hot iron.
We are living in those times. I don't want to go too much into all of this because I don't have time. But those scriptures are loaded. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Go to the cemetery at 12 midnight and pray. Go to the cemetery and talk to your dead father and dead mother and dead grandfather and grandmother to settle the score. Settle what score? With the dead? Going to the cemeteries. Eh? People say, I'm going to, when it was my mother's 1 year, I started having calls. Are you going to your mother's tomb to unveil? They have names they call it. Unveil. Unveil the tomb. Then I say, unveil what? Unveil the dead? Give me a break. Doctrines of devils. One of our members went to unveil the mother's grave. And when they came to the house, he had a terrible accident. But for God, almost died. And when he called me, I said, what did you go to do with the dead? What did you go there to do? Go ahead, there. Where is it in the Bible? Show me where it's in the Bible. They will say that, oh, but Mary Magdalene went to his grave to anoint his body. That is not a doctrine. That is not Christian biblical doctrine. It's a Jewish religion and things the Jews did. And then listen to what the angel said. The angel said, why seeketh the living among the dead? He's not here. And the people will go to unveil their grave. They are not there. Absent in the flesh, present with the Lord. We are born again, but we are carrying all these doctrines of devils. Every year, we go to the cemetery to go and unveil the tomb. For what? You are engaging the dead, the covenant with the dead. And yet you are saying, why are all these things happening to me? Second Timothy 3:1-5.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Difficult times. Strange times. Go ahead.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Look at selfishness today. Lovers of themselves. People love themselves than God. Lovers of themselves. Go ahead.
Covetous.
Today, people covet other people's wife in the church. They are looking at other people's wife and looking at other people's husband in the church. You are looking at me? Some of you are shocked and surprised. Archbishop, you tell you, he does marriage counseling. The strange things. Women coveting the bodies of other women. Marriage women hitting on young women. Marriage women telling young women, I need you. You need what? Turn to someone and say, you need what? Upe yen, me no tower. Go ahead.
Boasters.
Boasters. Boasting. Of things. The Bible said, let him who boast of this one thing, that he knows I, the Lord. Church, if you are boasting, please boast of God's grace. Make your boast in the Lord and of his grace, not of your accomplishment. Sometimes when I hear people boasting and they talk about how smart they were and they went to the top of their class and then they went to this school and they got this, now, oh, that is fine. But if that is what gives you confidence, If you derive your confidence from those things, you are to be pitied among all men. Tell me of the goodness of God. Sing the songs of Zion and the songs of redemption. And tell me of the grace and of the accomplishment of God's mercies and goodness in your life, and I will rejoice with you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes.
Proud.
I don't want to dwell on that. It's too heavy. Go ahead.
Blasphemous.
Mm-hmm.
Disobedient to parents.
Disobedience, you see? I was talking to somebody the other day and said, he said, Papa, I tried. I did my best. I don't know what I didn't do for these children. And I don't know. I don't understand what is going on. And I said, you didn't do anything. It's the spirit of the end time. Disobedience to parents is a spirit. And not just to natural parents, but to spiritual parents. Well, there are people in the church who are disobedient, rebellious, and stubborn to the highest order. Hey, it's scary. And yet, they are not even standing on one leg. And you can't correct them. They know everything. Go ahead.
Unthankful.
Ingratitude. These are signs. When you see this thing, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Don't. I'm dealing with a situation right now with one of my pastors. Misbehaving. Forgotten where he came from. Acting like he arrived from heaven. And I look at him. Ingratitude of the highest order. And he can even justify what he's doing. And I look at it and I comfort myself with the scriptures that is part of the signs of the end time. So I can take it. I can handle it. I'm not going to get angry and worry myself over it. It's part of the sign. Ingratitude of the highest order. Hey, Mosada Kasa. Go ahead, sir.
Unholy.
No purity anymore. You can't talk about purity in the church anymore or sanctification. Far from purity. Far from sanctification. You can't touch those things anymore. Go ahead. There's no conviction. No conviction of anything. Everything goes. Everything is accepted. Go ahead.
Without natural affection.
Uh-huh. You see, I was in America preaching some years ago. When I finished the preaching, the bishop of the church brought this couple. And I have never encountered that kind of situation before. That was the first time. So the first thing was this. I was shocked. I froze. I didn't feel the anointing. And I was shocked. And this was the case. The man is married, and the wife sleeps with dogs. In Karamai. Bay. And he said, Archbishop, can you please pray for her? Hey! It was a new revelation. I didn't know whether I should speak in tongues, whether I should say in the name of Jesus, or the name of the Lord, or the name of Christ, or the name of the Master, or in the name of the Father, Son, or the Holy Ghost. I didn't know where to begin from. And come and see her backing. I can't remember the rest. Years ago. We're living in those days. And after that, there was another situation of a woman who has, I want to say it the right way. She has an organ as a woman, and she has a man's organ. So she does it with both. Okwame. We don't have that here. Ebiniha. There are strange things in life, though. There are very, very strange things in life. There are things in this head of mine. I can't talk about it. Because you can't even describe it. You don't know how to speak to it. A woman, a beautiful woman with a handsome man, love his wife. But if she tells you the history where he started from, playing with a pet, and that spirit entered into her. She's grown, married, has a husband. But when she sees dogs, she starts having this thing with dogs. It's a deliverance issue. This is not counseling. You can't counsel demons. For those of you who struggle with deliverance, deliverance is in the Bible. And the difference with the doctrines of deliverance is this, that we believe that the believer cannot be possessed, which is true, because the word possessed means ownership. So demons cannot own a believer, but believers can be demonized, can be afflicted, influenced by demons, and certain parts of your body can be controlled by demons. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of fear. So fear is a personality, it's a spirit. And it indwells believers, not in your spirit, around the emotional realm and the body realm. Spirits can control believers. Demons. A thorn in the flesh was given unto me, said Paul, a messenger of Satan assigned to buffet me. Demons can buffet you, harass you, and trouble you. Take your sleep away from you. Give you insomnia. Can't sleep in that. Terrify you. Threaten you. Intimidate you. Oppress you. Depression. They are demons. Go ahead.
Truth breakers.
Truth breakers. Today. If you want to succeed in politics, in life, you have to learn to say something else than the truth. Just say anything that works. Just say anything. Let the people believe you. And win. And then deal with it later. There are people in the church, they make promises to people to borrow money and they won't pay back. And if you ask them to pay back, they'll fight you. And some will even leave the church and go to another church and take that thing there. They have become expert, very anointed with that kind of ministry. One did that to me in this church. I went to preach in a church recently. She goes to that church, a lady, very, very beautiful lady. But she's very good. She's very anointed. Bishop Odai knows her. And the bank manager told me, but this lady, she's 419. She's done it to other people. And I said, but I cannot allow her with her children. She's a single mother. Look at all these kids. Can't pay their school fees, can't feed them. We have to help her. And the bank said, okay, you have to guarantee. And I said, I'll guarantee it. So I asked her, I said, girl, how long will it take for you? She said, Papa, 3 months I'll pay. So I told the bank, 3 months. 6 months, no show. 7 months, no show. When I called her, she said, oh, I got the money, but I just used it to turn around something. Next thing I heard, she's left. She's in another church now. The church belongs to one of my sons. And I see her on telly in that church. And I said, I'm not going to say anything to that my son at all. Sometimes when you go and say, oh, Papa is jealous. You know, so I have too many sons and churches all over the world I oversee. I'm not going to fight over one person. I went there the other day. I didn't see her because it was announced that I'm coming. And maybe she thought I would say something. I won't say anything to that. I won't. There's no need to do that. I'm not going to be the reason why she backslides and lose her salvation. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm better than that. Tell somebody, I'm better than this. I'm better than this.
False accusers.
False accusers. Eh? And these false accusers, is an anointing in Ghana. Ghanaians have a special anointing to accuse people. The kinds of things Ghanaians can say about other Ghanaians, you need grace to manage it. The way we accuse people, I've seen people in this church over the years so accused that it's amazing. There's a guy, he was a banker. They accuse him, and I went to the president of those days to talk to the president, and he said, Archbishop, are you sure what you are saying? It's a very bad case, so don't get you into this matter. And as I said, with all respect, I'm already in it. Then I went to some of the people they said he had been loaned to. And I said, I want you to level with me. Did you bribe him? Did you give him something? He said, let me tell you something, Archbishop. That guy in your church, if we have few people like that in Ghana, this nation will move forward. I said, talk to me. He said, the guy gave his company money. He didn't know him. Then he said, at Christmas, he took some gifts and went to the guy's house. Gifts, Christmas, to give him gifts to appreciate what he did. And the guy shook his hand and said, you know something? Thank you very much for appreciating what I did. But please throw your gifts away. I don't need it. He said he left there with the gifts very embarrassed. And yet, they said that particular guy gave him some amounts of money. I mean, these false accusations, the way Ghanaians can accuse you, there are many times I've stood in the mirror to look at myself. No, just to check me. I just check me and my haircut, you know. Just check me, just to be sure that it is me, that I haven't changed. Ghanaians, everywhere they are in the world, we have a special anointing to lie about people. There's a guy here, one of my sons, he went somewhere and literally went and fought his friends. And they said, that's your archbishop, you've been giving him your money. And they told him that I was in a shop in London, I think Louis Vuitton or something. And that when I got there, they closed down the shop and send everybody out of the shop to allow me to shop. Now I'm saying, hey, and then my arrival. Tell somebody my arrival. I have arrived. When you enter into a shop and they send everybody out for you, why arrive? And I told him, don't fight for me next time. Don't spend your energy. And the way they said it, they were there. They saw me, pa. Me, Nicholas. They saw me. We need a Gany Philly Philly, pa. Another situation, somebody who was invited to this, I won't go to that church. And the person said, why so? I know that guy. We went to Prempeh College together. He's my schoolmate. Bad boy. We used to sit next together. Prempeh College. It's not Nicholas Duncan Williams. Oh, yeah. He's my mate. Tell him that so-and-so said it. And I said, me, I went to Prempeh College. I had promotion. What do you want me to say? Promotion. In my other life, before this one, I was in Prempeh College. And convinced somebody not to come to church. Go ahead.
Incontinent.
Mm-hmm.
That is without self-control.
Without self-control.
Fierce.
Go ahead.
Despises of those that are good.
Uh-huh.
Traitors.
Despises of those that are good. We live in a society where we don't like honest people anymore. We don't. We hate people who are accomplishing something. There are people who haven't accomplished anything. They get up and they insult those who have accomplished so much for the benefit of humanity and others. They just insult everybody. Talk anyway, anyhow. Go ahead.
Traitors.
Traitors.
Heady. high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's happening in Ghana here, but especially when you go to Europe on Sunday. I was in London the other time. On Sunday, you should see people on Sunday morning jogging. The other day, I was in London. On Sunday morning, I was going to church, and every road was blocked. There was a marathon race. People were everywhere. They blocked everywhere. So at a point, we have to come down, and I have to go and pick the underground tube. And the person can say, Papa, no. You can't do under, you can't do tube. And I said, sure. I know how to abase and how to abound. Tube, I used to do it 30 years ago. And I'm going into it. Went into the tube, walk. And then when we got to about five stops, then when we got to the station, we came out. I didn't know whether we should go left or go right. It was bazaar. Say, hey. And the whole church was waiting for me. And the message was burning inside of me. Then we came out of the tube station, and suddenly it started raining. And I said, I'll walk under the... No, let's bring... And I said, you are wasting time. The rain, I still have some little hair left. It won't spoil anything. You know, they brought me a picture of mine. It's in my office when I was 40. My God, the dude was handsome. Am I boasting? Wow. It was a serious picture. It's in my office. Maybe one of these days I'll bring it for you to see. Serious picture. I looked at it and my hair. And I said, wow. Bonipa Ebi. Hallelujah. Huh? Okay, let's finish.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Godliness, but denying the power thereof. Time after all this message, your Christianity will be tempted at the car park. No, just at the car park here. As you are getting out, somebody will be behind you and will stop suddenly and will be talking to somebody. And you will feel the anointing of injustice. Hold your peace. Hold your mouth. Do something like this. Everybody do it. Before you sing. Right at the car park here, you can be tempted. And there are certain people also who are very anointed. They watch the car you bring to church and they meet you at the car park. I've lost my job. Things are very difficult. I need some help with my children's school fees. And I need some help with my rent. And they target people. So when they meet you at the car park, tell them they should go to the church. What do you call the board? There's a welfare. Welfare department. I think Uncle Jim is the chairman of it. Scholarship. Okay, Uncle Jim is scholarship. I don't know who the chairman is. We have a welfare committee. So when they come to you at the car park begging you for money, tell them go to the welfare. And they will be interviewed to find out if they are correct and if the thing is true. Then they'll help them. So don't let people meet you at the car park there and be collecting monies from you. That is also another ministry within the church. It's a special ministry. They used to do that to Mr. Owari, the former chief of staff. They used to go to his office and trouble him for money. They would take money, including the man's own money, even though the church wasn't paying him. I don't know how he overcame that anointing and temptation. Be conscious of the end times. And let me tell you why. Things are not going to get any better. Please hear me. All the things we read is going to escalate. The Bible said all these things are the beginning of sorrows. And the end is not yet. So there will be more than what we have read. It's going to happen. And you as a believer must understand what's going on. On Wednesday, I want us, we do normally fast every Wednesday and do communion. This particular Wednesday, I want us to deal with national crisis. I want us to pray against national crisis. Two, I want us to also pray against any event in the womb of time that will cause a state of national emergency in this country between now and March next year. It's important. And one of the things that I want you to know is, don't ask me of details. I don't believe in putting fear in people, but I'm telling you, if we pray these prayers, we can avert a lot of imminent dangers. Sometimes you don't need to give people details. It's unnecessary. You know, some of those things also draws attention to yourself. But I think that if we pray these kind of prayers, a lot of things can be averted. See, I hear you. So please keep that in mind. Tell somebody, be conscious of the end times. We live in the end times. If anybody tells you any nation is going to do better than it's doing that right now, it's a joke and it's a lie. It's not going to get any better anywhere. American economy is doing well right now. It's just a matter of time. Things will just go. And we need to pray for America. We have to. All this trade war between America and China, it's all part of end time issues. And sometimes you see how their military meet each other on high seas. There are threatenings, oh. There are threatenings. And it's only the prayers and the presence of the church that is holding back some imminent dangers. I'm telling you. It's only the prayers of the church. If we stop praying and just leave things to chance, you'll be shocked what will happen to this country. It's only, tell somebody, it's only your prayers, you, your prayers. It's your prayers that is holding the enemy back. I'm telling you. If you stop praying, there is no hope. Please be conscious of the end times. And don't be shocked and surprised about some of the things we hear and we shall hear. Oh yeah, there will be issues. And some of them, Jesus said it will happen. And that's why prayer is so critical like never before. Because it's one of the only weapons, prayer and faith, is one of the only weapons that God has given us to hold the enemy at bay. And if we don't do that, there is no hope for humanity. Please stand. Now, from such having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Please, be careful of who your friends are. Please do. I have made a quality decision not to be friends with some friends who call themselves friends. It's simple as that. And I'm not going to tell you, but I've made up my mind that I will avoid certain people who call themselves friends because they are not a good influence on me. When they come to talk to me, I don't like how they engage me. And I know there are difficult times in this country, but I don't like people who come to me to ask me, so what do you think? What do you think? What do you think is going on? I don't know. And I'm telling those of you who wants to know my opinion about 2020, there'll be surprises. That's all. Quote me on that one. Because some people just come to hear what you have to say to take you away. Archbishop said. I said there'll be surprises. Publish that. You have to be careful of people who call call themselves Christians and believers who are a negative influence on you. I'm telling you, watch them. Not everybody can be your friend. You got to choose your friends very wisely. There are some people you just can't engage them. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to reject them. You deal with them, but very wisely. They come around, after 2-3 minutes, you look at your time and say, I have an appointment, I have to go. And somebody say, you are lying. Call it anything you want to call. 5 minutes is up. I have something to do. Got to watch who your friends are. Not everybody is a good influence. I'm telling you. There are some people, they come and visit me. By the time they leave me, I'm angry. But before they came, I was okay. And the Bible says in, I think it's Ezekiel 3, where he said, and when he spoke unto me, his spirit entered into me. 3:2. Look at Ezekiel 3:2, Bishop, quickly. No. No. Check verse 5 and see. No. Check chapter 2. Let me see. Yeah. The verse. No. Check verse 3 and let's see. So, son of man. No. Yeah. Check Ezekiel 2:2. Go to.
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me.
Uh-huh.
And he set me upon my feet that when I heard him.
What happened? His what? His what? His what? Did what? When? So you have to be very careful of who you listen to. Because there are people who come and speak to you. And when they speak to you, whatever is in their spirit will enter into you. And before you go to bed in the night, you have to be careful the last word you hear and who you hear from before you go to sleep. Because if the spirit of the one you hear from is an enemy, a spirit of an enemy will enter into you. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, make me conscious of the end times. Help me not to be ignorant. Help me not to be desensitized. In the name of Jesus, I vow a vow, calling upon heaven and earth this day to witness this vow, that I will live for you. Give my resources, my time, energy, skill, time, and everything to the ministry. For I have been reminded that nothing I do in life gives me an eternal mileage or reward except what I do for the ministry. Help me, Father, not to take advantage of you and not to use your blessing on my life for things that does not benefit your kingdom and your purpose. I want every parent here to come forward. I want to pray with you. I want every parent, fathers and mothers, come forward. Fathers and mothers, come forward. Fathers and mothers, please come. Fathers and mothers, please come. Lift up your right hand. I want you to look at me. There is a prayer you need to pray. I understand that we are all parents. We love our kids. But it is very dangerous to live for just your kids. Let us not offend God. Let us not hurt God. Never let God feel that you love your children more than him. It's a very dangerous thing. It's not good. It's not safe for even our kids. I want you to let God know that as much as you love your kids, you love him more than your kids. See, that was the sin of Eli. Eli lost his kids and died prematurely because he didn't demonstrate more love for God. He showed God that he cared more about his kids than the Lord and the house of God. And God was angry with him, and God killed his children and killed the man himself. That won't happen to you. You didn't hear me. I said, that will not happen to you. But there's a commitment you must make today before the Lord in prayer, that Lord, going forward from this day, it will not just be about my children, but it will be about your agenda, your work, your house, and the reason for which you gave me life to come into this world. Because I have been reminded, and I'm telling you, look at me, that's why I called you forward. Because the Lord was speaking to me about parents today, about things I have to be doing with parents. Because you determine the future and what shall become of your kids hereafter. And the next 20, 25 years of Christianity in this country and in this house, a lot depends on your decision and the choices you make. And I'm calling you before the Lord to fulfill my responsibility as a priest of this house, that I have reminded you that life is not just about the children given unto you, but it is about the assignment and reason for which God gave you life, and it is more than your immediate children. It's about God's work, God's agenda, God's house. You have an impact to make, an assignment to fulfill in this life. Please, I'm pleading with you with the message of God. Let it not just be all about your kids, because if you love those kids, you are putting those children between you and God. You don't need to endanger those children. Don't do that. Don't do that. That was what Eli did. Don't do it. Don't do it. Aaron, the first high priest of Israel, lost his children when they brought strange fire before the Lord. Do not do it. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I repent for endangering my children's life by choosing them above you and letting them be my priority and the reason for which I live. It is more than them. Father, I have been reminded and I recognize that it is more about you, the ministry, your work, your purpose, your agenda for my life than my kids. I submit them to you, Father. Help me henceforth to live for you and not for myself, not for my kids, not for my immediate family, but let it be about your work, your agenda. For I recognize that there come a day in a man's life and in a woman's life when the kettle is drawn down and when the dust is settled and when all hope is gone, that it will be left with me and you only. And on that day, it shall be required of me to give an account of how I lived my life and what I did with the life you gave me and the resources you gave me. Help me from this day to live a life that is pleasing in your sight, that on that day, when I stand before you, whenever that day is, that I'll be ready and not be ashamed to give an account. My children will not be fatherless. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I will not lose any of my children, and I will not provoke you unto anger by any means. I will love you, not by words, but by deed. Forgive me, grant me pardon, and help me to live a selfless life henceforth. In the name of Jesus. See, I cover my children. I secure them by the blood of Jesus. And if I provoked and angered you in any shape or form, let the blood of Jesus intervene. And let the blood of Jesus answer the accuser on my behalf. In Jesus' name. Now lift up your right hand.